when George was praying, I was thinking, my gosh, we sure got a lot of stuff going on this summer and in the fall. And I get so thankful for that. I'm just thankful that we have, we're doing our best to live the mystery and to walk in love and to be able to present the Word of God that we've been taught through the years and be able to do our best to help God's people grow and help people who don't know God get into the Word. And I was thinking about that this week earlier as I was praying about what to share. And I was thinking about planting. We had every year, Diane and I have a plant day where we plant beautiful flowers outside. And a bunch of believers always are loving enough to help us. And I think about a seedling that goes into the ground. I was talking to Hannah, I think it was, the other day about this. I was at Yellowstone. I don't know what year we went, but years and years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, we went to Yellowstone with a bunch of believers. We took a hike to visit some believers out west, and we stopped at Yellowstone, and there was miles of trees that had been burnt in a forest fire several years before. And right alongside of those burnt trees were little trees that were growing. And I thought about how cool that was. Dana Armstrong talked to us, and Joe Armstrong, about how that happens frequently when there's a forest fire or something like that. Seedlings will plant right beside the trees and grow and grow and grow. And I think about that when people plant things and they put them under grow lights and they see their seedling grow into something that, it's supposed to be. You know, if it's a tomato, it would be a tomato seedling, I believe. I don't know anything about gardening, but I like the fruit of it. And I like to watch things grow. When I was an infant, I'm sure I wanted to walk or stand up. And when I stood up, then I was probably excited about walking. And when I started to walk, I'm sure I wanted to start running. And, you know, when I first said, I wanted to say, dada. And then I wanted to be able to talk. And then I wanted to be able to get taller. Then I wanted to be able to get smarter. Growth. I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 20. And I want to share a little bit on growth. Growing, growth. In Acts 19, which is going to be the theme for our camp this year. Acts 19. And you're all familiar with Acts 19, probably. You know, there was all kinds of trouble that these guys got into, all kinds of trouble for speaking the word and so on and so forth. And they just kept speaking it, though, because it was true. And it had power. And it produced things. It produced things. And here in verse 20, we have a very familiar scripture to everyone. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. This is after they got rid of all their junk. It says that they got rid of their curious arts and all their crummy books and all the stuff that held them back. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I'd like to share with you the word grew or grow. It's used grow, it's used increased. And we'll see some of these scriptures as we go. But the word grow in the Greek is the Greek word oxano. Oxano. A-U-X-A-N-O with a something over the U. And it means to enlarge, to get bigger. It means to increase or to advance. It means to improve. And it's likened unto a plant that grows from a seedling into a bush or into a tree. Or it's like an infant growing into a child, a young person, a teenager an adult. And that's what it means. So here in this verse, it says, so mightily grew the word of God. It increased in their lives. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It increased, it advanced, it enlarged, it improved. It was like a plant. It just grew and grew and grew. What grew? The word of God grew, and it prevailed. In Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at some of these usages of the word grew. I think it's important in light of us as believers. We never want to stagnate in our growth. And I think that's really a fallacy anyway. We're either growing or we're not growing. So it doesn't matter how old we are. We can continue to grow. We can continue to enlarge. We continue to improve. We continue to advance in our walks with God. In Matthew chapter 6, we'll go to 24. We'll read it real quick here. No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Well, none of us. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these beautiful lilies. They continued to grow. They grew. They were enlarged. They advanced. You know, like from a seedling to a beautiful, beautiful lily. Even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed as one of those beautiful flowers that advanced in their growth and were just beautiful. That's a beautiful usage of this word growth. Go to Matthew 13. Thank you for your prayers. They've helped me. They really appreciate it. I'm moving on, moving on, moving up, moving out. No, not moving out. Matthew 13. And we'll read verse 31 and 32 in this parable. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And I'm sure plenty of you at one point or another have seen a mustard seed. They're really minuscule. They're very small. They're so small, in fact, that somebody gave me a couple once and I lost them because they're so small. Bob Chatton has many mustard seeds, along with a lot of other artifacts and things like that. What verse am I? 31. Yeah, took a mustard seed, which a man took, and he sowed in his field. He put it in the ground in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, meaning it's teeny. And when it is grown, you see that? When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Those birds couldn't come and lodge in the little seed that mustard seed was. It couldn't be lodged, housed by that little seed. But that little seed grew. It grew. It got enlarged. It improved in its function. It got bigger. It grew from a seed to a big old tree. Look at how this word grow is used, or grew. Go to Mark chapter 4. These are great examples of this word grow. Mark chapter 4. I remember so vividly when I first got into God's word. I remember going, wow, who are all these incredible people around me? Look at what they do. They pray for each other and they get healed. They love each other. They get people born again. They teach people God's word. They show people how to get born again. Their very presence was healing. I wanted that to be me. I wanted that to be me. And in order for that to be me, I needed to grow. I needed to grow in God's word. Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground. And when it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. Yeah. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit, sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. This word increased is the word grow. It's the word grow. It's the word oxano. When this seed fell on good ground, it yielded wonderful fruit that sprang up and it enlarged, it advanced, it increased, it got big. Some brought forth 30, some 60, some 100. Man, it's just fantastic to see this in the word. How different things grow. Grow. Yeah. It's pretty cool because it's a parable about the word. Some people hear the word and they're all excited for one day. But because there's no depth to it, they fade out. Some people, they get into the word, they're blessed to get into the word, and the cares and riches of this world come around and they get screwed up. Others, they become rooted. They become grounded in love. They become rooted and grounded in God's word. They want to know God's word. That's why some people get in the word for 2 weeks. And those 2 weeks are the greatest weeks of their lives. But then for some reason or another, which is covered here in the parable, they fade out. But this growth here is growth that's upon good ground, good soil, good food. And so it increased, it grew, it grew. It's fantastic. Luke chapter 1. I'd forgotten that Luke had 80 verses in it. Luke 1. That's a lot of verses. So if you want to say, I read the word today, read Luke 1. It'll take you a little while. Unless you use Pacer 1. Luke 1, verse 76. And this is referring to John the Baptist. And I think John the Baptist gets a raw deal sometimes from believers. He was an incredible... He was something else. His ministry didn't last very long. But what a man of God, a prophet of God. You could read the beginning of that chapter all through, and you'll read about John the Baptist, and this is referring to John the Baptist. And now, child, and this is when he was born, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Boy, what a ministry he had to prepare people for the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd been waiting so long since Genesis 3:15 for the coming of a Savior. And here John the Baptist was preparing people. Hey, remember Genesis 3:15? Remember all the prophets in the Old Testament? Guess what? He's coming. He's coming around the bend, boy. You better wake up. Can you imagine? I don't know how many years it was from Genesis 3:15 to here. It was a lot of years. And here he was on the precipice of being pronounced. And John the Baptist was the guy. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Can you imagine such a message? I thought about that a bunch this week, about what a message it was that John the Baptist had to bring. Salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through thy tender mercies of mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Wow. To give light to them that sit in darkness. This is all about John the Baptist, his proclamation. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Wow. What preparation for something so wonderful. And then look at this next verse. This child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And when is it? This is talking about John the Baptist. He grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Wow. John the Baptist increased. He was somebody who grew. He grew. His life was advancing all the time. He increased. His heart was enlarged. He was like a plant. He grew. He grew. And I can imagine some of the response that John the Baptist may have received. Probably a lot like the response we have when we tell people about salvation. Sometimes people think you're crazy. I understand why people don't believe in God now, just the way the world is. Because of our growth, because of our improvement in the Word of God and walking on it as sons of God, we have something to show people, not just something to tell people. We have something to show them. We show them God by our life, by our words and by our actions. It says in God's Word, by your fruit you shall know them. I would like to say I produce good fruit. Whether I do or not, maybe is another question. But I'd like to say that that's something that I'd like to believe, that I could show forth the love of God by my life and by what I say. But people want to see it, man. People are tired of hearing jive-ass preachers. People want to see people live the Word of God, live the love of God. By their life, by their actions, how we walk. What do we produce? We talk about healing, but do we minister healing? Do people get healed? We talk about love. Well, do we manifest love? We talk about life more abundant. Well, do we live a life more than abundant? And I think we do. But that didn't happen the first day we got in God's Word. That didn't happen the first month. It took time and patience and love and heart and desire for us to increase, for us to grow, for us to advance in our walks, to the end that our walks are a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he acted, how he walked, how he loved, how he gave. You know, there's a lot of things you could take from me, but boy, don't take away my Bible. And don't take away the privilege I have to speak it. That night I was in the hospital with my back all jacked. That's all I talked about was God and his word. I can't tell you how many people I shared the word with that night. It was a lot. It was everybody. And with a smile, with an expectation of God taking care of me and taking care of them. You know, our life is not just a bunch of baloney. It's either real or it isn't. And our life can grow. We can grow. That's the whole point of this sharing. We can advance. We can improve. We can grow. And we should want to. It should be desire of our heart to grow with God and our walk with God. What a tremendous verse. And the child grew, and he waxed strong in the spirit. What's it say in Ephesians 6:10? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, or his mighty power. We're to be strong in that. We're also to be strong. That's another. We'll teach that sometime. Be strong in the grace. Yeah. That's the first characteristic of a faithful minister, as recorded in, I think, 2 Timothy 2:2. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Look more about this growth. Acts 6. Acts 6. Oh, yeah. This is when the work of the ministry got too big. They needed to choose out some other people to take care of the other people. Look at verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. And here was the requirements, an honest report. That, you know what that means? When people said something about those people, they told them what they thought. An honest report of the people that they had ministered to. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and these other guys. Verse 6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them. They didn't smack them in the head. This was revelation. They ordained them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the what? Faith. Boy, look at this verse, these verses. They needed more help. They needed more ministers to minister God's word to God's people. They needed it. So what did they do? They prayed, and they knew what they were looking for. They were looking for people who were of good report, who manifested God's power. And they prayed, and then they chose these men, and they ministered to them. They prayed, they laid their hands on them. And then it says the word of God increased. The word of God advanced. The word of God moved. The word of God grew in people's lives because there were more ministers to minister God's word. Ministers who were full of God's spirit, who walked in wisdom. Ministers who had a good report. Ministers who walked. And because of these ministers who walked, the word of God increased. You see it? The word of God grew like a beautiful plant turns into a beautiful plant. An infant turns into an adult. They grew. The word of God grew. The word of God grew in people because these men walked with God and because they were ordained to the church. Tremendous. Acts 12. I just think this is a great word. Acts 12, yeah. That's a rough one. That's when old Peter gets imprisoned and all kinds of wild things happen. The church is believing and Peter gets out, screams outside, "Hey, it's Peter!" A little girl answered the door, said, "It's Peter!" And all the people that were praying inside said, "You're crazy. You go back to bed." No, it was Peter, all right. And here at the end of this chapter, we have some interesting things. Acts 12, Herod was not a good king. Verse 19, it says, and when Herod had sought for him, they all looking for Peter and didn't find him, he examined the keepers, commanded they should be put to death, which is part of the Roman law. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and their abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in his beautiful royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It's a voice of a god and not a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory, God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. That's a beautiful mind picture, if you ask me. I don't think Hannah would want to watch that on TV, though. I don't think it would bless her. And then it says, but in contrast to eating of worms, it says the word of God grew and multiplied. Boy, oh boy, Peter, his stand, his walk with God, everything that preceded this, it says the word of God grew and multiplied. Something else, man. The word of God grew and multiplied. They prayed for Peter. Just like you and I at times will have like a 24 hours of prayer, or maybe even longer, for somebody or some people or a situation. And we find out that those people or that situation gets handled, or the people get delivered. Boy, there's a great shouting out of joy. It's a great example of people believing the word of God and seeing the word of God come to pass. That helps increase, that helps us grow, that helps us grow mightily in the word. If we talk about signs, miracles, and wonders and never see them, what good is it? It's interesting in the word, when we went through the stuff on prayer and all that jazz, when we went through that stuff on prayer the last couple of weeks, one of the things that they prayed for in several of the church epistles, or thank God for, was for their faith, their believing, for their love, and for their believing of the hope, patience and hope. See, I don't want to be any denomination. I don't want to be someone who talks about the word and never does it. I don't want to be an infant in my walk for the rest of my life. I want to continue to improve my growth. I can't improve on the Spirit. That's perfect. I can't improve on God's ability in me. That's perfect. I want to improve in my walk, in my believing, in my love. And because Peter was delivered, this word of God increased. The word of God grew. And not only did it grow, not only did it get improvement with the believers, not only did it was an advancement to the believers, but it multiplied. Wow. When I got into God's word, that's what we saw. Signs, miracles, and wonders every day. And that's what I will continue to pray and seek. See, you guys that are younger, grow up and you're believing, to really demand it, because it's something you can demand. To see healing, to see deliverance, to see salvation, to see love, see peace. Right? And that will be the thing that will help us all grow and improve our walks with God. We can improve our walks with God. I don't sit here, I'm not Ronald Revelation or anything like that, but I desire every day to be my best for God. You know, no matter what situation I'm in, if I'm in a hospital even, that I could speak the word, that I could believe the word, that I could, you know, they were giving me all these tests and I was just crazy because I first of all, I wanted out of that place, but I went, you know, they'd say, "Can you raise your leg?" And I'd raise it all the way up to my head, which I probably shouldn't have done, but I'm fine. This little Asian lady wants me to walk like 1 second, you know, I'm flying down the hall. Am I right? Can I get a witness over there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Diane wasn't too happy with me, but I was happy with me. So the word of God grew. It increased. Boy, when you look at the context of this, and that word, see, it says grew and multiplied. That word multiplied means abounded, increased greatly. That's what it means. So this word of God, this was a pivotal point in the history of the first century church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It sure is fun to look up words in the Word. And then when you look them up, you know, like, look, you know, sometimes get lost in the context because you look at the context, then you almost forget what you're looking up. It's fun. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Now, Corinthians, what is what kind of a church epistle?
Reproof.
What does reproof mean? That's great. When not believing what?
Rightly.
Okay. Maybe we ought to take the PFL class another 76 times. It's a big deal. Doctrine, reproof, and correction. That's the whole deal. That's what all the Word of God is. Corinthians is specifically a reproof epistle. And I, brethren, verse 1, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He couldn't give them the meat of the word. He wanted to. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. I think some of the best fellowships that we have in the state of New Jersey are children's fellowships. Yeah, it's the milk of the word, but boy, unless you develop the milk of the word in your life, you're never going to get to the meat of it. Boy, these children's fellowship teachings are tight, they're good, they're friggin' awesome. I think sometimes we ought to go to children's fellowship meetings. But he could only go so far with these guys. He said he fed them with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you weren't able to bear it. Even now you're not able to bear it. That must have been a hard thing for those guys to hear. You know, they wanted the meat. They wanted the hearty stuff. He gave them the milk because they weren't able yet to receive it. Doesn't do you any good to show off to everybody how much you know if those people there are not ready to hear it. And he called them carnal, verse 3. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, aren't you carnal and walk as men? Boy, I'd have liked to shout that out today. There ain't no reason that people who know the same word of God shouldn't walk together. The only reason is pride, ego, I don't know what else. For I once said, I'm of Paul. And you could write this today. I'm of Paul, I'm an Apollo, I'm of Apollos, I'm of, you know, name somebody. Are you not yet carnal? Isn't that stupid? Because we're all of God as his dear children. We're all members in particular. So why should we, you know, I'm thinking of camp coming up. I'm not sure I can go. I don't know that I've been given the green light to go. And I, you know, I've had to talk to Albert and Dean. I don't know if I can go. And my answer to them is, so what? If I can't go, I can't go. Do you not have the same word of God that I do? Yeah, I'd be disappointed, and I know people would be disappointed if I didn't go. But if I didn't go, so what? It's the word of God. And if that isn't our attitude, if our attitude is, oh, Jerry, or Bob, or whoever, then that's wrong. We should respect one another. I understand that. But this really hit me. Once that I'm a Paul, Apollos, are you not yet carnal? And then is Paul, pardon me, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the what?
Increase.
There it is, increase. God gave the growth. We can plant, we can water, we can teach, but God gives the increase. Look at the next verse. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but that God give the what? Increase. Increase. He's the one who gives the growth. Yeah, we need somebody to teach it. We need someone to teach it. But if someone 10 years old is teaching God's rightly divided word, it's up to us in our meekness to God and his word to listen, to pay close attention, because it's the same word as somebody else might be teaching, Michael Gilmore or somebody else, you know. How many times did Dr. Victor Paul Werwell tell us it's the word, it's the word, it's the word, and nothing but the word? I don't know, but I'd like to have a dollar for every time he said it. I'd be pretty wealthy. It is. That's what matters. It's not who sings a song. It's that the song gets sung. Ephesians chapter 4. Pretty neat. I fully expect to be at camp. But if I were not able to make it, you are. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. And this is talking about the gift ministries. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are all ministries to the church. They're gifts to the church. An apostle is somebody who gives new light. It might be old light, but it's new light to the generation that they live in. A prophet is someone who speaks for God. Someone who says, thus saith the Lord, and brings people back to God. Some evangelists, some people who are very proficient in ministering salvation, getting people in the Word, or inspiring others to get people into the Word. Some are pastors, people who just tenderly watch out for the flock, just kind of like hold you in their arms and love you and love you and love you. And then teachers. Teachers, man, boy, I love when people have a ministry of a teacher, you just kind of get knocked out because it's just so precise, so perfect. You just are blown away because of the teaching. And those are all ministries to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. These ministries are given to the body of Christ to help perfect the saints in their renewed minds, to help us with our minds being enlightened to the Word of God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those build people up in the Word of God, in the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And that's how long these ministries will be in operation, so long as there's people to teach or to give to. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? What's the reason? That we henceforth walk not, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro like a wave, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. These men of God, these ministers, are supposed to not allow any erroneous doctrine whatsoever to enter in to the family, to the body. That's one of the biggest things a minister is to do, is to protect the doctrine. And not, they don't care who says what, where it says, how it said it. If it's wrong, it needs to be corrected. And if a person's worth their weight and they're a real man of God, they'll go against all odds to protect this doctrine. Boy, that's something. Because the adversary does his very best to go right alongside of the word. Swerving, missing the mark, ever so slightly. And it's those men of God who are supposed to be the ones that protect that doctrine. Yeah. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth in what?
Love.
May grow, may increase, may improve, may be enlarged unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, which can grow up. Boy, that's such a great usage of the word grow. Speaking the truth in love. Yeah, that's such a great verse. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's ministries in the church, but still the head is Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, that's such a great section on ministries and what they're supposed to be all about. Colossians 1. Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. And boy, Colossians 1 is really a great, great chapter also. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. What did they hear? Look at verse 4. They heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. That's what they heard. That was their report. They heard of their great believing in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. That's what they heard of them. They heard about their love. They heard about their believing. They heard about the hope that they had. Verse 9 again. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. That's the word. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. You see, when you pray for people, boy, that's what we should pray for, that they could increase in their knowledge of the Word of God. That they could see God bigger in their walk by operating the manifestations of the Spirit. So that they could walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing, and that's the word grow, to improve, to advance, to get bigger in your understanding, to get bigger in your walk. Yeah. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks. But look at that verse 10. Increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of God, enlarging our knowledge of God, advancing in our knowledge of God. And of course, the context isn't just knowledge, but it's application. It's not just knowing, but it's applying wisdom. It's applying spiritual understanding. It's operating the manifestations. Increasing in the knowledge of God. This word knowledge is the Greek word epigenosis. Epigenosis, or epigenosko, I don't know how to pronounce it. But it means, what it means is more important than how you pronounce it. That you might increase in the knowledge, and it means clear and exact knowledge. And I might say, clear and exact knowledge can only come as a result of participating in that which you know. There needs to be some sort of active participation to get this clear and exact knowledge. I can talk about healing all I want, but if I never got healed, I really wouldn't know. No, no. It's participation of the part of the one knowing something. You hear that? It's It's participation on the part of the one knowing something. In other words, there's action taken on the part of the one knowing something. 2 and 2 is 4. It doesn't mean anything to you until you need to use it in your life. And then you really get to know it. It means to know by experience. It's a knowledge that makes an impact and has a powerful influence on the knower. Boy, think of that definition. It's clear and exact knowledge, participation of the part of the one knowing something. It's to know by experience. It's a knowledge that makes an impact and has a powerful influence on the knower. Here, it says that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing, growing, advancing, improving in the active participation of the knowledge of God. It's one thing to know. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. But it's another one to believe it. If you believe it, you get born again. You know, it's one thing to know. Here, I would all that you speak in tongues. I would that you all speak in tongues. You speak in tongues, and then there's a difference. Because you're an active participation on the knowledge that you have acquired. You are not just knowing something, you're acting upon it. And by acting upon it, you are increasing. You are growing. You are enlarging your walk with God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be active participants in his grace. He wants us to be active participants in the living of the mystery. It's not just knowing Jews and Gentiles, fellow heirs of the same body, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, but it's for you to act upon that. It's not that I would have you to know all things that are freely given to you, but to receive those things that are freely given to you and act that way. To know you're righteous is one thing. To be an active righteous person is another sometimes. You can give the definition of righteousness. But are you that away? When you're that away, you are an active participant. You are knowing what it is to be righteous because you acted on it. See it? You get it? Pretty cool. Pretty cool. 2 Peter 2. Do you know that I've had a chauffeur recently? That's how big of a shot I am. Her name is Diane. She chauffeurs me around. Right? Today we had a big day. We went to Chick-fil-A. Trader Joe's. Anyway. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. Boy, this sure is beautiful. Verse 18. But grow in grace. That's that word grow. Is that word increase. Enlarge in the grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Does somebody have a phone that has their Bible on it? Is it on? Could you look that word? I'm interested in that word knowledge, if that's epigenosis. I didn't look it up. I should have. George, you're there. Are you on it? Because if it is, that sure be great. If it's not, that's still great. Anybody?
Jerry, where are you?
Where I said to go. 2 Peter 3:18.
Oh.
Which one? Huh?
Oh, the first knowledge. Grow?
No, knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge is gnosis.
Gnosis, which is the same word. It just doesn't have the prefix on it. And that means to know by experience. So, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Boy, these sure are some great verses on growing, increasing, enlarging, advancing. And let's close in Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. And in verse 20 again, it says, so mightily grew the word of God. So mightily grew the word of God. They believed it bigger. They grew. They advanced. They increased. And it prevailed. It's a prevailing word of God. So that's what I wanted to share tonight. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, thanks for your love, your grace, and your goodness. Thank you, Father, that we can grow in our knowledge and application of your word and everything that goes with it, the love that we can manifest, the grace we can walk with, and all the different things, Father. Thanks for the fellowship we have with you and for the awesome privilege it is to be your kids, Father. We're so grateful that you called us out before the foundations of the world when we weren't, we had no God, we had nothing. We were dead in trespasses and sin and without you, and we're grateful that now we have you and you have us. I think we got the better end of that deal, God. So thank you that we can grow in our knowledge, that we can advance and improve in our walks with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.